A couple of episodes, I mentioned a Latin word, vocare, which has to do with our calling or our vocation, and a person asked a question about it. And so today, I'd like to address that question. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, Senior Pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. A couple of weeks ago, three or four weeks ago, we did a two-part episode on what does it mean to be Lutheran. In the second of those episodes, I got a wonderful question from a listener. I had talked about how one of the distinctives of being Lutheran is this sense of vocation, of calling, that God calls each of us to a particular kind of work in the world. And here was the question posed. It would be great to hear more about vocare. That's the Latin word I mentioned in that episode. How do we listen for God's call? What examples have you experienced or observed in your life? So I'm going to try to respond to that question, as always, in a provisional way in the few minutes we have together. And I'll start with a entry from, I'm sure I've referenced this book before, Frederick Buechner. It's called Wishful Thinking, A Seeker's ABC, and there's an entry under vocation. And so I'll start this whole discussion with the start of that entry. He says, it, the word vocation, comes from the Latin vocare. That's the Latin word I've already mentioned. To call, and means the work a person is called to by God. And then this important sentence, there are all different kinds of voices calling you to all different kinds of work. And the problem is to find out which is the voice of God rather than of society, say, or the superego or self-interest. Okay? So again, I do believe, actually, that God calls each of us to a particular kind of work. And that doesn't just mean work to make money. It means, you know, what you're called to do in the world. But as Buechner points out, there are a lot of voices yelling and screaming at us saying, you should be this kind of person. You should do this kind of thing. And so the challenge of our life in some ways is to discover, well, what is it that God is asking of me? What is God calling me to do? So I want to say a couple words again, as cued by that question, about my own experience with this issue of discovering what we're called to do in sort of a personal way, which may or may not be helpful. I hope it is. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all answer to this question. Then I've got a few resources that I'll share with you that may be helpful for you as you sit with that same question. So for me, I cannot think of this question of what does vocation mean or what are you called to do without thinking of my own transition in life from an earlier career for about a decade, which ultimately, of course, I left that behind and I moved into the work of ministry. I may have talked about that in this space before. And so a lot of what I'm thinking about as it relates more broadly to the question of vocation is just drawing from that experience. And I want to lift up four inflection points in that process for me, okay? The first one is ask the question, right? Be willing to sit with the question, which has already been suggested a few times, what, God, do you want me to do? What are you asking of me, right? I think we need to begin with that. I think in my own case, when I transitioned from the work of communication and public relations to ministry, I mean, that was a 6, 7, 8 year process. And I do think I was asking that question. Even if the question as I was framing it at the time was more, what do I want to do? I think deep in my heart, God was even then communicating to me saying, Tim, I've got something in mind for you. You're not really ready to hear it yet. But sitting with that question, even if it's a selfish question, I think can ultimately draw us toward the voice of God, which is inviting us into some particular kind of work for us. I hope that makes sense. So first, ask the question. Second, listen for the answer. I've talked about this in other places, and it's, again, implied in some of what I've already said. The world is a noisy place. C.S. Lewis has that famous quote I've quoted before. We live in a world starved for silence, right? And so because the God we worship does not tend to shout at us, we need to figure out ways to attune our ears to hear the still small voice of God, or the quiet whisper of God who invites us into the future, right? So we need to be willing to listen. What does that mean? I think it means you can hear the voice of God in all kinds of places. Again, part of this is my own experience. I think if you're sitting with the question, what should I do? God shows up in what you read. God shows up in movies you see. God shows up in conversations you have with close friends. God shows up in sort of the reflections you have of your own history and background. If you're not attuned to what God is trying to say to you, it's really easy to miss those things, okay? So again, ask the question, sit with the question, and be prepared to try to hear the answer from God. The third move that I would suggest is then, based on what you're hearing or sensing, is act. Do something. Respond, even if you don't feel like you've got all the answers. What's the line? God doesn't expect in a journey of a million miles. You know, you've got to take the first step, or God invites us to take one step at a time. I'm not saying that very well, but I think you get the point. Do something to test out where God is leading you. And again, in my own transition from my earlier work to ministry, I had all kinds of fits and starts. I thought about different careers. I thought about moving to different agencies. Eventually, I thought I was going to do something in academic work, and so went back to grad school. And that was what ultimately sort of shifted some things for me and made me realize, oh, wait a minute, maybe this is what God is inviting me to do. And so that's the fourth point. Again, ask the question, number one, listen for the answer, which is going to come to you in all kinds of ways, act. And then the fourth point is expect to be surprised. I can promise you, and again, I've probably talked about this before, despite the energy I had of trying to figure out, what do you want me to do, God, or what do I want to do, or what's my dream of my life, I promise you, I never in a million years thought it would be to be a pastor. And so when that first presented itself to me, I can assure you I was more than a little surprised, as was my wife. And it took a little while to sit with that possibility before we were comfortable moving in that direction. And as I've said many times, now that I've been doing this now, gosh, for more than two decades, I can't think of anything I'd rather do. It's an incredible blessing to do this work. And part of the reason that's true for me is that I can compare and contrast what it feels like in my inner self to feel like I am doing what I've been called to do versus my earlier chapters of my life where I was doing good, important work, but it didn't feel like it was what I was being called to do. And so being able to compare and contrast those for me personally has been really helpful and meaningful. Okay, so that's a little bit of my personal story. Just real quickly, I'll lift up a couple of references. I guess I'll start with this one. Among the books that I read, this is a short story by Leo Tolstoy, was a little short story called The Death of Ivan Ilyich. This turns out was really important in my own discernment, and I'm mentioning it here for a very specific reason, which I'll get to in a second. Other resources, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, James Martin, The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything. One chapter specifically is, What Should I Do? ? That chapter is less about calling and vocation and more about practical tips of how to make a decision when you're facing sort of a crossroads in your life, but it's still a meaningful thing to read when you're sitting with the question of what you should do more globally. And then the last thing I'll mention is a volume, a collection of essays and writings by a lot of different authors. It's called Leading Lives That Matter. And then listen to the subtitle, What We Should Do and Who We Should Be. Again, Leading Lives That Matter, What We Should Do and Who We Should Be. It's edited by Mark Schwain and Dorothy Bass. If you happen to listen to David Brooks's Faith and Life talk a while ago, they were in the audience that day and he actually called them out and he referenced this book specifically and said it's the best thing ever written on. I don't know if you used the word vocation, but that was his point. And it turns out, interestingly enough, I was just flipping through this today. I'd sort of forgotten this. The very last piece in this book, the epilogue, is, guess what? The Death of Ivan Ilyich by Leo Tolstoy, which may not mean much for you, but when I saw that, I thought, wow, that feels really full circle for me. I appreciate the question, as always. It's a really important topic for us, both as Christians and as Lutherans. I do believe, I've said this before, that God invites us on this journey of faith, which is, another way of talking about that is, it's a grand adventure. And part of the adventure of our life is specifically discovering who God wants us to be and what God wants us to do. And I pray that you can find an answer to those questions in your life. Thanks for being with me as always. And until next time, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.